And hear this reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. This is chapter 12, verses 12 to 31. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you." Nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I mentioned already, we read last week the account in John's Gospel of the beginning of Jesus' ministry. We were here, hopefully you remember, it was a miracle, water into wine. This week we read Luke's account of the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and it's quite different. There's no miraculous sign. Instead, there's a worship service in the synagogue there in Nazareth, Jesus' hometown. He's been invited to speak. He's both liturgist and preacher for the day. And he reads from the prophet Isaiah. "I have come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Release to the captives and sight to the blind and freedom to the oppressed and good news to the poor." And then Jesus rolls up the scroll and he sits down, as was the custom, to preach in the synagogue in those days. He sits down and he says, well, first he pauses, I imagine. So every eye is on him, and then he says, "Today, in your midst, right here, right now, this scripture is fulfilled." Almost as powerful as turning water into wine. And as in John's Gospel, this sets the stage for Jesus' ministry, the reminder to the people that God is not somewhere distant, and that the story of God's kingdom is not something in the past or in the future. It is right here, right now, today. In fact, every time we gather to worship, we might imagine Jesus saying, yet again, today, right here in your midst, scripture
kingdom has come, and you are part of it. That's Jesus' message. It's also Paul's message in the passage we read from 1 Corinthians. Paul's using very different language, but essentially reminding us of the same thing. Today, right here, right now, God's kingdom has come, and we each are a part of it. But Paul uses the image of a body. You are the body of Christ, he says. And this you is not singular. It is plural. Paul had been from this region of America, he would have said, you all, I guess, are the body of Christ. It's plural. You together are the body of Christ, and each a member of it. Right here, right now, today, we are the body of Christ. And Paul goes on to remind us, the body is one, but it has many diverse parts that look different, that act differently, that have different roles to play. Many parts, one body. And Paul even gets almost humorous in his description. He says, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The ear can't say to the feet, I don't have need of you. They are one body. The eye sees. But how is the eye going to reach out and grab something that it sees? It needs the hand. The ear can hear, but how is the ear going to go investigate some noise that it hears in the other room? It needs the feet to get it there. In fact, Paul even goes so far as to say, imagine the whole body were an eye. It's kind of a disgusting image, isn't it? A big eye. Wasn't there some horror movie, I think, in the 50s that had that as its premise, the crawling eye, or something it was called, big eye that would just kind of, you know, move around. It's kind of gross to think about. But also, it doesn't make any sense. Imagine the whole body is just one big eye. What would it be good for? No. Every part of the body needs every other part. They are one body. And this is not randomly put together either. Paul says again and again, God has arranged the parts. They're not just thrown together haphazardly. There is a reason, there is an order, there is a purpose to every part of the body. So it is with us. We are all part of one body, the body of Christ. Christ is the head, we are the body. And part of our task is to figure out, which part am I? And what is my place? What is my role in the body of Christ? Unfortunately, we human beings are not always so good at remembering that we are one body. And I would suggest that when Paul is saying we are one body, he doesn't just mean this congregation is one body. We are. He doesn't just mean our denomination, the Presbyterian Church USA, is one body, even though it is. Not even the whole Christian church, but the whole human race is really one body, all children of God. But we're so inclined to forget that as human beings. Imagine if we just kept that in mind all the time. We are all together. We're all in this together. All of us an important part of the body. Paul says if we'd remember that, there wouldn't be any dissension or division in the body. But of course, as we know, there is. Whenever two or three are gathered together, not only are they there in God's name, but also probably they will start arguing about something. But Paul Paul says, remember you are one body, many parts, each with your own gifts, skills, strengths, weaknesses, things you are good at doing, things you can't do, just like the eye and the hand and the foot, but all together. And it's not just a matter of equality. All the members are equal, but more importantly, they all make up a whole body. And if any one part or member is missing, the body suffers. Now, not to lay a guilt trip on you or anything, but have you ever thought about it that way? The Sundays when you are not here, the body of Christ is not all that it could be. We're lacking something without you. What is your place in the body of Christ? That's part of what I'm here to help you all figure out. Now, I am trying to find my own place as well. Part of what I'm doing in these days and weeks and months as I kind of settle in, figure out what is my place. What is my place as your pastor? How do I fit in to this congregation? How do I fit into this community? How do I fit into the presbytery? Trying to find my place, but also hoping to talk to each one of you about what is your place in the body of Christ. And you're not bound by what your place may have been in the past. Remember last week I was talking about a new song, a new creation. We're not bound by the past. I remember a gentleman in a church I served earlier who had been a banker all of his life, had been in the financial world. And of course, when he joined the church, everyone just assumed, oh, he wants to be on the finance committee or help with stewardship. And I remember he came to me and he said, the last thing I want to do is anything financial. I remember saying, what would you like to do? He said, I want to work with preschoolers. And I said, can I have that in writing? I didn't really say that. But your place may not be what everyone thinks it is. God may have a totally different place for you. And your place may change over time. That's the fun of all this being together. Just because you've always had a certain role or place, it doesn't mean you're stuck there. Part of the fun of being together as one body is figuring out our place and how those roles and how those tasks change over time. So as I'm finding my place, I look forward to talking to each one of you at some time about what are you called to do? What is your place? Part of the body. Are you? We are the body of Christ together. Each one of us crucial to the body being whole and functioning well. That is our task together. To figure out who we are, how we fit together, so that we can best do what God has called us to do together. We are the body of Christ.